The other week, at one of our open team meetings, every other Tuesday morning, we meet, we gather at Windsor Hall, and as leaders and those who are free, just to worship God together, like we've done this morning. To share stories about what God is doing around our different churches, and to pray and to minister over one another. And last time, a couple of weeks ago, we had Beth and Kelly leading worship for us, and we had the most incredible, intense time of worship. I don't know, who was it? Just you and I there, Di, from here. We had the most amazing time of worship, and it was one of those times when you could almost see the glory of God, you know, in the room. It was just phenomenal. And I spoke a little bit at the end of that just about the importance of us being overwhelmed by the presence of God. And Ian said, he said, that wasn't taped. You need to come and say that at our church. Please, will you speak on that next time that you're here? So he's given me a brief this morning. I'll try and be true to that. He's asked me to speak on the presence of God, the overwhelming presence of God. And, you know, one of the things I feel God is saying is that he wants to overwhelm us. And that means he wants to overwhelm you. And he wants to overwhelm me. Now, I'll let you into a little secret. Despite the fact I was overwhelmed by God's presence myself in my early Christian life, you know, you called me a twirling man, Shay, and I used to twirl around in my living room when no one was watching. And then I found that when I got to church, because John was at Lifeline Community Church when I joined it, I used to twirl around at the back as well. I was twirling around at home and no one could see me. That was okay. But when I got to church, I suddenly realized I couldn't stand still, and I started to twirl around at the back of church, which was a bit embarrassing because people weren't generally doing that. So despite being overwhelmed like that myself, I've not always found it easy to understand when people are being overwhelmed by the presence of God. So, you guys are all looking old enough to remember 1994 and the Toronto outpouring. Yeah, do you remember that? Was it plain sailing for you? For Di, it was plain. Yeah, I love Di. It's all plain sailing for Di. Did anybody struggle with that? Is it just me? John struggled with it. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Yeah, there's a few brave hands saying they struggle. I struggled with that. And part of the reason I struggled with it, because they were being overwhelmed in a different way than I was being overwhelmed. That's the honest truth. That's really what it boiled down to. People were being overwhelmed by the love of God in a different kind of way than I was being overwhelmed by the love of God. And I didn't think, actually, what their way was particularly helpful. So when people fell over laughing at the front of meetings, who were supposed to be leading meetings, or when they were, you know, making strange noises and whooping and hollering and, you know, crashing into each other and staggering around like drunk people, you know, it didn't really bless me because I wasn't feeling it. I'm ashamed now, to be honest with you, about that. I am ashamed because that just shows you where I was at back in the early 90s. I love the Lord, but I just put him in a box and wanted other people to put him in the same kind of box that I'd put him in. I'm very grateful that he doesn't do that. He keeps breaking out of our boxes and surprising us. You know, I remember distinctly at the time, someone coming up to me in Marlow and saying to me, you know, while all this mayhem's going on at one of our meetings, Colin, God's doing a lot of this in this season. You could see God's doing all kinds of things. You know, what do you want him to do for you? We could have an interesting time this morning just asking each other that. And I said that I read something really embarrassing. I said, you know, all that laughter that's going on, I want to experience that. How shallow was I? I said, what's laughter got to do with it? You know, the fact is that 6 months previously, I'd experienced that overwhelming laughter in my quiet, in my own, whilst reading a book by A.W. Tozer. Anybody read any A.W. Tozer? John, it's just me and you this morning, mate. Is it full of laughs? No, to be honest with you, it's not full of lust. I was reading a book called Out of Rut, The Rut and Into Revival. And it was really heavy going, let me tell you. It was hard. But I got to this part of the page, and all of a sudden I just burst out into fits of giggles and laughter. Reading, if he was there, he'd have probably rebuked me strongly. Because it would have not been in his paradigm either. You know, and I would be uncontrollable, fits of laughter, kicking and screaming on the sofa. And then I thought, I composed myself. You know what it's like when you've got that kind of... And I'm not the only one, am I, that sometimes gets that uncontrollable laughter, occasionally. You know, and you can't stop. And when you stop, you kind of, okay, I'm there. And then I started to read again. I got to the same sentence, and again, I would be in screaming fits of laughter. It would kick off again. And I had no idea what was going on. Absolutely none. Now I kind of have a paradigm for it. But at the time, I thought, what is going on? I'm trying to have a serious, you know, study of A.W. Tozer here. But I was blessed by that laughter that morning. It was a bit contagious as well. I was staying at a wedding in Ireland, and some friends came back, and they started laughing as well. So it was good. It was healthy. We all felt a lot better. But you know, so I'm just speaking to you as one who can understand if people get a bit nervous, when people are overwhelmed by the presence of God. Since that time, I've really come to appreciate it, though. And for me now, it's something that I actively choose just to embrace. And so if people are reacting in different ways around me, you know, if they're bending over, if they go, ugh, you know, or if they're staggering around like a drunk person, or if they're acting kind of weird, actually, that doesn't worry me now. If you know, I believe, I just choose to believe, actually, they're experiencing the love of God. And for them, that's manifesting. They're reacting to it in that way. And so these days, I don't really care what people think anymore. I don't care what you guys think about me when I'm worshipping. Actually, it doesn't bother me one little bit. It used to bother me back in the days when I was in John's Lifeline Community Church. And that used to bother me a lot. And sometimes people will come up and say to me, you know, I've got a problem with you. You know, why are you dancing like that? I don't know. I just can't stop. And unfortunately, they were outnumbered by the number of people that came up to me and said, oh, I'm really blessed by your dancing. So, you know, I was able to carry on. But these days, I don't really care. So it doesn't matter to me. You can come up to me and tell me what you like about my dancing. It doesn't matter. I had a friend in Marlow who used to say I dance like a demented puppet. He wasn't a Christian, he came on the Alpha Course. I had to come on the Alpha Course just to find out why you dance like a demented puppet. Well, there you go. So I don't care what people think of me in that sense, and I don't really care what other people are doing, you know, because actually what's most important to me is that people are experiencing the presence of God in some way or other. And whether you react to that or whether you don't is a question. If I never see anybody reacting to the presence of God, I'm wondering if they're really experiencing the presence of God, to be honest with you. Because when you come face to face with love as vast as the ocean, as the song goes, when you come face to face with a love that is higher for you than the heavens are above the earth, you know, when we know that we're accepted completely, and we know we're not worthy of that acceptance, when we know it, when we come into the presence of that acceptance, when we come into the presence of such amazing awesomeness, and nothing happens, you have to wonder, don't you? So I'm more worried about, you know, a lot of serious looking faces. Because for me, God is overwhelming and God loves to overwhelm. And I've given up arguing about that. I just love it. And my heart's desire is that we'd all be overwhelmed. If we stagger around like drunk people, I don't care. The one thing I do care is that we love outrageously. You know, let's love outrageously. Let's love each other outrageously. That's the fruit I want to see from being overwhelmed by the love of God. Now, and when we were in that meeting a couple of weeks ago, you know, there was such an intensity to the presence of God. It was almost blinding me. And the warmth I was receiving of the love as in that place was just staggering. I didn't want it to end. You know, I just loved being in that place. And at the end, I just said, look, this is the place we need to be, guys. This is the place we need to be. This is the most important place in the presence of God. Everything flows from that. Everything flows from the presence of God. Everything flows from that. All of our things that we want to see change in us flows from that place. All of the things we hope that we're going to become, the dreams we have about being a kind of person who's going to be effective, who's going to do great things, that comes from that being in that place long enough to let it impact us. But not only that, any change we hope to see in society, which actually depends upon us all changing, because if we're going to see it, Slough changed, you know, and I believe God, you're going to see parts of Slough change, if not the whole town's changed. You know, if we're going to see that happen, that it has to begin in us. It has to an overwhelming place. If we just have a little bit, we keep it locked away. And how's that song go? You know, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Often we like to contain the fire. We like to keep it safe. We like to keep it controlled. And when we do that, of course, that's what happens. We end up with a safe, controlled, tame little fire, which is nice. Keeps us warm. Nice little ready bright glow. But it doesn't really upset anything else around us. It doesn't really change stuff around us. And we really want that fire to be out of control in us, so that when someone comes into the presence, you know, there's a contagious thing going on. There's a spark that flies. And you guys have lots of people with that who carry that kind of spark. And we just need to see more and more and more. So I love now the presence of God. You know, and we, as River Church, you know, we place the presence of God very, very highly. You know, it's one of our key things. And because we know everything flows from it. When we enter the presence of God, a kind of transaction takes place. We lose a little bit of ourself. We let go of some stuff we need to let go of. We drop some things that we need to drop. We stop carrying some things we think we need to carry, but we don't. And actually what we receive instead from the Lord, we start to receive good things from him to replace some of the stuff that we've been carrying. There's an amazing transaction that takes place in the conscious place of his presence when we know he's right there with us. We lose our inadequacies, we lose our concerns, we lose our fears, and what we pick up is from the Lord. We pick up his goodness, we pick up his forgiveness, we pick up his grace, we pick up his love, his life, his peace. These things start to invade us and start to dwell in us in that place of intimacy. You know, and when I was growing up as a young man, I struggled with pornography. Back in the day, of course, when I was a young man, that wasn't too bad. All we had was clay tablets with, you know, etchings on. I'm joking, obviously. Thank you for that. But when I was a young man, all we had was printed stuff, and there wasn't a lot of printed stuff, and what there was hard to come by. But even in that, as a young man, that was a temptation which was available still and not too out of reach. And it wasn't knowing that it was disgusting or shameful that helped me break free from that. What helped me break free from that was the love of God. Didn't need it anymore. It was obviously fulfilling something in me that I needed, which I didn't need afterwards. You know, and one of the things I feel in our generation is just awful is that because of the internet, which is a fantastic tool most of the time, you know, it's wonderful, but because of the internet, we now have access to images, we now have access to not just pictures, but movies and things which are just, they are disgusting, and they're designed to entrap people, they're designed to take people to certain places emotionally, and, you know, I'm glad I'm not growing up as a young man today, because the temptations are much harder. But I want to say right now that the answer to those temptations is the same answer that I found. It's not about knowing it's wrong. It's not about having a greater willpower. It's not about having an accountability buddy who's going to ask you the tough questions. Those things help. Don't get me wrong. They all help. But the only thing that really, really cuts at the root of the problem is to fall in love with Jesus. And we let go. Same as I struggled with alcohol when I was a young man. Surely not, Colin. I did struggle with alcohol, and when I went to university, I used to get drunk 2 or 3 times a week. And the reason for that was I was too shy. I was so inhibited. I didn't relax. And after I found if I drank some spirits, a spirit of a wrong kind, I could actually just enjoy myself a bit more and let go. And of course, I did all kinds of stupid things in that state. But what helped me overcome that, because it became an issue at the end of the day, what helped me overcome that issue? Was it the fact that I jumped over a brick wall and smashed my face open and had 14 stitches when I was drunk? No, that didn't stop me. Was it the fact that I was violently sick some nights? And had a terrible headache the next day or felt awful for the next day or so. Did that stop me? No, because I was stupid. What stopped me? Huh? It's the love of God. You know, at the age of 24, I became a Christian on the 7th of November. I never got drunk afterwards. One time I got very, very merry afterwards, very tipsy, by mistake. I was raising money for a trip to Nepal. I had a whiskey tasting. I thought that was a good idea. I needed to raise some money, and I had some half bottles of whiskey. And I thought, I have all my neighbours and friends around, and they can pay me money for my half bottles of whiskey, and we'll have a whiskey tasting. So, and I was waxing lyrical about each whiskey, saying what the different flavors were and what you could taste and what you could get out of it. Try this one, I said, and try this one, and try this one. And halfway through the night, I disappeared. I went upstairs and lied down and never came back. Oh, well, I raised a few hundred quid for Nepal, but, you know, that wasn't intentional. I don't know why I shared that, but anyway. But you get my point. The point is, we need that heavenly transaction to take place. The thing that sets us free is the presence of God. That's the place of transformation. Falling in love with Jesus sets us free. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I know it pretty much off by heart, but I'm going to read it. From verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," or "there is freedom." Hallelujah. Amen? 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 Are you free? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's such a great... We could just stop there and actually just thank God for that. But it doesn't end with that, because it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's incredible. As we gaze upon the glory of God, as we meditate upon the glory of God, as we look to it, as we fill our minds with the glory of God, as we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the glory of God, we are transformed. We take it on. We start to reflect the image. We're like in a mirror. We start to reflect it. That's amazing. Goes on in chapter 4 to say, you know, verse 6, it says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's amazing. Because sometimes we can struggle, can't we? We say, "Colin, how can you focus on the glory of God? What's the glory of God? How can you fill your mind with the glory of God?" And here we have the Bible telling us. If we're struggling to do that, and I understand some people might struggle to do that just in their heads, but if we're struggling to do that, look at Jesus. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He might as well have said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the glory of God." And here we have it said, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if we're struggling, if we can't do it in our imaginations, let's read about Jesus. Let's look at what he did. Let's look at what he said. Let's fill ourselves with that. Let's let that overwhelm us. Let the way that Jesus was overwhelm us. Because he was overwhelming. Such an amazing man. Look at the way he accepted people. He accepted prostitutes. He accepted tax collectors, who were the most kind of greedy, kind of conniving sorts of his day. He accepted Gentiles who had no religion. He accepted occupying soldiers who were mistreating his own people. He accepted all of these people with love, and he served them. If he accepted all of those people, whom people hated and despised in his day, just think about now how he responds to us. That's amazing. None of us are rejected by him. You know, he overwhelmingly loves us. And as we gaze upon that love, as we look upon it, as we meditate on it, it says, by the Spirit, we are changed. We are transformed from glory to glory. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 20. That's another one of my favorites. I read out again and again and again. The reason these are good, because I like to meditate on them, because they give me life. Paul is praying for the Ephesian church, and this is one of Paul's most important letters. It was sent as a circular to be read out in many churches. And it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." There we go again. There's that word Spirit. Seems to be all of his work in us is done by the Spirit. Not by our hard works, not by our efforts, but by the gift of his Spirit. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Again, it's the place of transformation. Do you get it? It's Paul is praying. Paul knows this is the key to seeing us become all that we're meant to be. To become the image of God that we were created to be. The key is not in our effort. It's not in us knowing what's right and wrong. It's not that battle was lost way back in the Garden of Eden. The key to us becoming all that we were intended to be is actually to fall in love. To know the height. To know the width. The breadth. To know the depth. And to know the length of the love of God. That's the thing that changes us. That's the thing that helps us become all that we were destined to be, all we were created to be. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it's true. I've experienced that in my own self, and I know you guys are experiencing it too. That is the truth. This is the thing that sets us free. It's the place of transformation. The you know, being overwhelmed by the height and by the breadth and by the length and by the depth of the love of God, that is the place where we become more and more like him. Puts you in mind of that river in Ezekiel, doesn't it? You know, where the river's flowing out from the temple. And the Spirit comes to Ezekiel and says, look, let's go for a walk. Takes him for a walk, takes him 1,000 cubits and it's ankle deep. And he's having a little paddle, a little splash. Takes him 1,000 units and it's knee deep. Takes him 1,000 units and it's waist deep. Takes him 1,000 units and it's a mighty river. It's so deep that you cannot cross it. In fact, it says it's so deep you have to swim. That is the place that God wants for us in the Spirit, to take us to the place which is so deep, to experience so much of his love that it's overwhelming. Not we can splash around and have a little, you know, I love it when the kids splash around at the beach, at the seaside. But, you know, actually what he wants for us is to be overwhelmed, to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled up to the fullness of God. This is not some, you know, trite thing. It's so easy to say, but so difficult to get a revelation of. We need it. We need to be overwhelmed by his love. Okay, so what are some of the keys? I'm just going to quickly give 3 keys and then we'll do some practice. Because I think God wants to overwhelm us this morning. Are you ready? Some of you are looking a bit nervous. Are you ready to be overwhelmed this morning? I'm ready to be overwhelmed this morning. Make that a conscious decision. It's a bit like tongues. You know, the gift of tongues is something that you have to embrace. It's not something that God is going to force on us and waggle our tongue. He's not going to go, blah, 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 blah. You know, he doesn't come down with his angel and start waggling it. If we want it, and Paul says we should all want it, we should all desire it, we have to actually embrace it and actually start to move our tongues in the hope that he fills them. Our mouths with words while our minds are thinking about something else. The same with the presence of God. When we experience the presence of God, we have to have an act of will to embrace it. It's a bit scary. That's why I like to hang out with people like Dave Jones, who leads Marlow Congregation, the Marlow Church, because he's someone who always willingly embraces the presence of God. Okay, what are some of the keys then? Number one, the first key to really being overwhelmed by the presence of God is to know that God is good all the time. This is God's goodness. The thing is, you see, if we don't know that, fear will creep in. And you get some people that talk about the fear of the Lord a lot, and they sound quite religious. And they are quite religious. And the fear of God, you know, it may stop us from doing certain things we know we shouldn't do when you're terrified. If you live in a home with a man who has a bad temper, you quickly learn not to do the things that set off that temper out of fear. It will stop us from doing certain things. But the fear of God will never lead us into us becoming all that we're supposed to be. Because fear creates a separation. And the Bible continually encourages us not to separate ourselves. God doesn't want any separation between us and him. He wants intimacy. He wants us to come before him willingly and expectantly. In fact, was it Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, let us boldly enter his presence. Let us boldly come before the throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment, not the throne of sovereignty, not the throne of power, but let us boldly come before the throne of grace. That's what he likes to call his throne. The throne of grace, the mercy seat, the seat of mercy. We can boldly come before that seat. We may not be able to boldly come before the seat of the emperor of the universe, but we can boldly come before the throne of grace, where we get treated better than we deserve. You remember in the Old Testament, when Esther was asked to go before the king, and she was scared stiff to go before the king of the Medes and Persians at that time, because if she wasn't accepted, she'd been killed. Fear kept people out of the presence of the king. God is not like that. God is a throne of grace. And he welcomes us into that place. That place where we get treated better than we deserve. It's a throne of grace. A throne of grace. He wants to treat you this morning better than you deserve. He wants to treat me this morning better than I deserve. God is always the same. Always wanting to do that. So that is number one. You know, and that's why we don't preach the fear of the Lord in that way. Because we don't want to put a stumbling block between people coming into his presence. Number two is knowing his forgiveness. Because if fear will keep us from the presence of God, guaranteed number two on the list is shame. We all do things we're ashamed of at times. Shame, just like it did with Adam, drove him to hide in the bushes. Shame always drives us to hide. Shame will keep us from the presence of God. And to know that he is forgiving is incredible. We can boldly come into the place of forgiveness. See, knowing that we're not worthy of God's love will keep us humble. But it will never help us to become mature sons, to grow up into the fullness. It's actually knowing his forgiveness and complete acceptance that helps us to move on and to grow up and to become strong and mature. And lastly, it's his patience. Because our weaknesses, the things that we struggle with, not just once, but the things that we struggle with day in, day out, or week in and week out, and every one of us has them. We don't often like to talk about them, but we do. Those things can keep us from the presence of God. Because we can say, I can't go again before God, because look, I'm still struggling with the things I was struggling with last week. But God, to know God is patient, to know him as long-suffering, is important if we're to break through to a place where we're overwhelmed by his presence. And that's why, see, when Moses says to God, show me your glory, that's what God shows him. When Moses says in Exodus chapter 33, show me your glory, God says, okay, hide up there in a rock, I'm going to pass by, and you can look at my back. And what does it say? In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. It said, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. See, those are the things that help us to enter into the glory, to help us to be overwhelmed. It's the same back in Moses' day as it is today. Exactly the same. And you know, that's one of the reasons I love worship. Because some people come up to you and say, why does God ask us to worship him? Isn't that a bit arrogant? Isn't that showing God to be a bit needy? Why does God need us all to worship him? Do you ever hear people say that? Hello? Have I lost you? Have you ever heard people say that? Yeah, you do. And it's a question people have asked. But that's completely missing the point. The worship isn't for God. The worship is not so that actually he gets some kind of kick out of it. Oh, look at these guys, they're all worshipping me. I must be good. He doesn't need that. But actually, it's the act of worship which changes us. Because worship, like we were doing with John just a moment ago, like we were doing with Laura just a moment ago, worship is that when we come into that place and sing songs and listen to music, which help us to focus on the glory of God. That place, we enter that place of transformation most easily in worship. We enter into that place of being overwhelmed by his presence most easily in worship. It's for us. It's for our transformation. It's for us so that we enter into that exchange where we let go of ourselves and abandon ourselves to focus on something much better than ourselves. And so we're drawn to become more like the thing we admire. Worship is all about that. Losing ourselves in wonder and awe at God's goodness. That's why when they worship like that when the temple's inaugurated back in 2 Chronicles, the cloud comes down and they can't do anything else. They're overwhelmed. They can't carry on with the work anymore because they're overwhelmed by the presence of God. And that's what we want. That's what we want. That's what the Lord wants too. So we're going to practice now. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're going to practice now. Before we do, I just, when you were leading worship, John, I looked over at you and just saw you smile. And I just felt the Lord say, you read Habakkuk. I think the Lord would speak to you for reading Habakkuk. And, you know, it ends with one of the most famous verses in Scripture, you know, though the olive tree shall not blood, you know, there's no cattle in the stalls, blah, 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 there'd be no harvest, yet I will still praise my God. And it says, for the Lord God is my strength. You know, he's made my feet like hinds' feet. I shall tread on my high places. And I just felt that place of rejoicing, that place of worship, was a place for you to enter again, intimately, like twirling around, like I did in my living room, twirling about, that place for me of intimacy with the Lord by myself, and the Lord is calling you into, again, to break through. And I saw breakthrough coming to you in that. And I saw you treading on high places. And I saw you achieving, like a mountain climber trying to get to the heights, trying to find a way up to the highest places, I saw you finding the path up. I saw you doing that. And it was in that place of worshipping your God, rejoicing in God, despite whatever else is going on around you, but focusing on the things that enable you to worship him and thank him and praise him. So I just wanted to, before you led us in worship, I just wanted to say that. I love you, mate. yeah. So now we're gonna practice. John, will one of you guys play something for us? I'm going to read out Psalm 103, and then we're going to meditate on the goodness of God. And I want us to enter into this, guys, because we can sit there, or I can stand here, and we can just go through the motions. But I want to do what we can do here this morning to really open ourselves up to the presence of the Lord, to that love that is higher than the heavens for you this morning, to the fact that our sins are separated from us as far as the east is from the west. The fact that we're clean in his sight. To the fact that he has pity on us like a father has compassion on his children. His depth of his love is like a father's for his kids. That will go on and on and on into eternity. So we get the dimensions of this love, which are infinite, crashing into our hearts, setting us free, overwhelming us. So it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows that our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, he flourishes. The wind passes over it and it is gone. Its place remembers it no more. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's just now focus on the love of God for you and for me. Let's allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by his presence this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill this place. Help us to see you high and lifted up. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Reveal your goodness to us again this morning, Lord God. As Moses cried out to you, we cry out to you, show us your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, where we need to know your forgiveness, wash over us again this morning. And right now, I'm just looking in the Spirit. I'm seeing hearts being washed by a very pure mountain stream, refreshing, washing clean. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Set our hearts free, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that there is in this place. You're amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Just feel the things of this world slip off. The worries and the cares, they're just fading right now. Some of the things we've been fearful of are melting right now. They're melting away. And you hear the Lord saying, don't fear, don't worry. I'm with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Feel the relief that comes to our hearts as he says to us, you're clean. You're clean. I forgive you. Feel the freedom that comes right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There are some patterns being broken this morning. There's some thought patterns being broken this morning because we're engaging with the presence of God. That baggage is just being dropped. I see it like a rucksack. I see pornography coming off someone this morning, just being taken off like a rucksack and being dropped on the floor. It's been broken, that the power of that's been broken this morning by the goodness of God, by his love for you. It's been broken. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see peace coming to a marriage here this morning. There's been bickering in the home, but actually I'm just seeing that breaking this morning, that pattern breaking in the name of Jesus, breaking in the name of Jesus. There's an ease that's coming, a smile is coming to the lips, a glint in the eye, just an ease is coming. Broken by the glory of God, by the goodness of God poured out into our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see peace coming between someone and a neighbor as well. Someone's having a problem with a neighbor. I just see peace coming to them in the name of Jesus. And I see God doing something in that relationship with you and the neighbor. And actually a friendship starting, which seems impossible right now. But I see friendship starting because you are embracing the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I also see someone with a pain in the shoulder, and that's melting away. Melting away. The pain from this day is going to get less. From this day, it's going to get less. From this day, it's going to get less. Because of an encounter with the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, the most important thing we can do is to know you, to know your presence. I want to pray today, Lord God, that we break through in that. That wherever we are at, there's always more. There's no end. It's limitless. Your love surpasses understanding, it says. There's no end to knowing it. And so for each of us here today, I pray that in the coming days and weeks, you help us to move in to another realm of glory, to another place of experiencing your love. Help us to practice your presence in our homes, Lord Jesus. Help us to practice your presence in our workplaces. Help us to practice your presence as we shop, as we chat with friends, to know you with us, to be overwhelmed by your goodness and by your grace, to see your power break out through us, to see our lives overwhelmed by your peace and by your love. And that, in turn, impact the lives of those around us. Help us all, Lord God, to worship you in our homes. To spend more time in that amazing place of transformation. Where you give us the things of life and take away the things that hold us back. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.